It's a joy to open the Word of God and continue to swim in it. Usually when I need to speak about different topics, which are not just following verses, that's where I feel uncomfortable. But I really thank God for an opportunity just to follow verses and to see what God says. We are speaking about the second crown. We are talking about the five crowns that God make available for those who follow Him. And just remember the first one, I'm not saying that's the most important, just counting one after the other, yes? The first one I dealt with was the crown of life. And a small reminder that I think that most of the apostles died because of their faith. Just a small example. It doesn't happen to everyone. It happened to few. But see our apostles, that what kind of example they give us. The second one, the incorruptible crown, and I started to speak about it, and we spoke about Paul, that although he had freedom, he didn't use the freedom for his own joy. I feel like. Actually, he had the freedom, and I'm sure that only in heaven he enjoys all of it. He realized that the freedom is to do God's will. And to do God's will is also to make a benefit for another. And living among idol worshippers, living among Jewish people, from the same stock he came from, they had their own ways of doing things. Traditions that equals to the authority of God. Rabbis that whenever they speak, for them it's as if listening to the word of Moses. And no one even go and check if it's true or not. My rabbi says, and that's as if it's a voice from heaven. That's it. Dealing with that kind of people, that zeal is their family name, sometimes with no brains. And instead of saying, I got tired of them, I'm going to find another tribe. No. He stayed there. Why? Because God called him to be there. If God calls you to be somewhere, he also brings the love to the place where you are in. So he was willing for their sake, for in order to bring the gospel, to let go of many other things that he could do before the Lord. But it was not beneficial. I'll share with you something that it's really on my heart, and I see the outcomes of it in the last 100 years. Not me personally, in my own eyes, I'm not that old. But we see the results. We are right now eating the results, as we call it. You know, the Protestant evangelical churches, which we are all part of it also, in a general speaking, were welcoming also Jewish believers to come in. Frankly, you had the synagogue, and you had this kind of a church. A Jew most likely will not run toward a Catholic church. Guess why? He will prefer, if there is something like this, to go to the Protestant evangelical. So the people were waiting for them. Great, we have the root comes in. Until this person wanted to celebrate Passover. Until this person did not want to eat a pig in his home. You know, you can refrain from pig and still be in heaven. And there you could see that in these, generally speaking, I cannot say in everywhere, in these places where they saw a Jewish person come to know the Lord and still may have some weaknesses or still wants to keep something, not instead of Christ, don't misunderstand me. They consider him as if someone who brought heresy into the church. Wow! He touched something in Judaism! Let's shoot it before it grows. We laugh about it, but part of the reason that Messianic Judaism flourishes in its own churches is because of that. That Christian churches would have to have a little bit more wisdom to know what is heresy and what is, never mind, but make sure that Jesus is the center. What do you think? We don't have things like this in our church? You have new immigrants come from South America. They come to church with a cover over the head, with a tzitzit, looks exactly like people from the synagogue. I can do two things. Take my machine gun and spray them over. Or, I know why I'm using that kind of vocabulary. Because that's what many of the Protestant evangelical churches has done. Or, to realize that everyone can be in a different level of maturity right now. And I should exercise more love. I should sit with each family. See if they absorb that kind of clothing or whatever with understanding, or sometimes that's what they knew, they didn't know better. And if we celebrate a Passover, be my guest. I am happy to celebrate Passover. It's a great opportunity to share the Lamb of God, to share what Jesus did for us. Make sure Christ is the center. Fight against it when the shadow overcomes Christ. But lead the guy to maturity in love. And don't say heresy to every toy that he picks up from the pocket. Guess what happened? He finds another Jewish person with the same problem and they create their own church. And what is in that church? All the symbols are instead of Christ. Hooray to you. You really helped the gospel. Again, I'm getting into it. I have nothing against you guys, okay? I'm just crying off my heart. That's all. That's the bottom line. But here, every generation may have a different situation of exercise your freedom. A little bit more patience. To see what the other one needs. What is an obstacle for the other one? Don't just go with your freedom to do things and smash everything around. You are going to pay highly for that later on. It is better to take this person who may be weak in Christ and to help him rather than later on fight against churches who are not based upon Christ. And we see the tendency. The tendency is Jewish nationalism. The tendency is we. The tendency is the symbols. And sometimes on the expense of the Lordship of Christ. I cannot blame only the church for that. That's not the issue. But the church had a part in it. Vital part, sadly to say. So when we speak about this kind of verses, don't just take it into the, okay, so I will not eat a pig. Oh, there is way more than that. It's the mindset of, how do I consider my other brother? Even a child in the Lord, in maturity level, he's still a child in the Lord. He's not going to hell. So love him. Care for him. And if in the expense you need to play with his toy that he says a symbol of the law, whatever, which is not come to heresy situation, that's part of it. I'll tell you something. In our church, when we established the church, we said, traditions stays at home. The border of tradition is the door of the church. In this way, because we are Jews and Gentiles alike, I don't want the Jew to come and tell me, but I want this toy, and the Christian will tell me, the Gentile, I want this toy. So, there are no green trees in Christmas in our church. And in the other way, there are no other toys from the synagogues. If you do not have a verse to prove these need to be here, don't come to speak to me about it. If I cannot defend it, put it in your home, sadly to say. Don't put it in the church. And then we don't need to argue. Only for this and only for that and so on. There is freedom to do God's will. To be smart, to know what is an obstacle for someone and what is not. To know, to choose your wars. Those are those who think, oh, I'm with Christ, I need to fight everything that moves. Okay. Poor life. And there are those who realize there are so many targets, but only some of them are very threatening. Every radar system works like that. What is the most threatening one? Even if it's the farthest one, the missile will go to him, not the closest one, which is not a threat. Why don't we use it in the same way in theology? Love absorbs. Don't go to fight for everything that doesn't deserve it. You will be exhausting yourself. What kind of a name you want to have? A follower of Christ or someone that is more angry than show the love of Christ? When I was young, with less brains, I thought that I will come with a verse and kill everyone who thinks differently. And God humbles me. I came to speak with the rabbi. I just thought, Daniel 9, Isaiah 53, and the person surrendered. No more, no more. I spoke these verses like bullets or arrows. And the more I say them, I realize how I shunt him off. Because I came with wrong attitude. There's nothing wrong with the verse. Listen. Listen to the people. Listening is already giving the answer. See what the people have in mind, what bothers them, and then in God's humbleness, present what God has done in your life, or the necessary verse, but not from arrogant point of view. So here Paul, doing something which was right, realizing that he's not in a competition to prove something to someone. He is God's slave. Most of the places where it says servant, it's actually slave. And slave doesn't have his own agenda. It's the master's agenda. He knows me. I don't need to do arm wrestling on my own glory or whatever. My father knows me. So here we see Paul doing it correctly. Another thing is that people are doing for the Lord. Yes, people are in a race. Many Christians are in a race. But apparently most of us, or many of us, are in the 100-meter race, not the marathon race. The 100-meter race, of course, both sides, the short-term race and also the marathon race, are practicing a lot. They eliminate a lot of things from their life, food-wise, personal issues, in order to be fit for the run. But when you do it for short, it's an explosion of, I call it, energy, and you don't have time even to think in these 10 seconds. But when you do the marathon, you know what happens in the middle after 1 hour, an hour and a half? These ideas come to mind. What am I doing here? What happened to me? What did I drink that I started the run? Is my brain shut off? What do I get in the end of this extra hour? I am almost dead, and what have I done? So many questions come to your mind. What am I doing? Should I stop here? And if I stop here, so what? What will happen? What do you think happened in Christian life? What do you think happened in people in ministry? What do you think? Every day is fun? What do you think? There are no cries in between? Some people say, yes, I want to give my time to the Lord. They go to Mexico and build a church. Great. Don't misunderstand me. May God bless you. Okay, energy for 1 month, 3 months, and then what? What, are you doing a favor to God? What do you think God will say in heaven? Well, thank you, how would I do it without you? That's not what Paul is talking. He's talking about people, and don't misunderstand me. It's these short-term missionary trips are great. I'm talking about the mindset. Is this one time for life, and then you are sleeping on the great things you have done for 2 weeks, or it's a mindset that all my life is like that? Is all your life, are you building churches in Mexico? You know the idea. I'm just taking it in a symbolical way. Are you always busy in God's work? Too many running the short term. Few running the marathon, which means life marathon, not only 2 hours. That's what he's talking about. Look how marathon starts. 10,000 participants. How many finish? Less than 100. So, look, it's a picture of life. And we are all in that. What do you think? I'm immune? I'm not immune. I'm begging each day. I'm praying with my wife. God, keep us pure before you. Everywhere I go, people ask me, what do you want us to pray for? I tell them, pray for my marriage. So immediately, is there any problem? I said, no, there isn't. I don't want any problem. I'm serious. I'm deadly serious. I want to finish the race. And it's not easy. I don't want to work 50 years in the name of the Lord and in my last year lose my mind and say unwise things. Or to do a mistake that will put a shadow over all the life before. God help me. Keep my eyes just at you. That's what he's talking about. If you really want to continue to run with the Lord, make sure that your eyes are resting in him. There are many, many things which are shining in this world that easily can distract us. And I'm saying it, believe me, none of us is immune. And it takes all the life, it takes godly people around you, it takes, if you are married, faithful wife, to pray one for another. Keep your eyes stuck to the Lord. It's so easy to go astray. So easy. So many people start their ministry with the Lord. How many finish? So it's something that just have in mind, just always to put before us. In the run that Paul is talking about, the winner got these leaves. In Hebrew it's alei dafna, I don't know how to say it in English. Special leaves, like a crown shape. And you know, after a few days, it's rotten. I mean, you don't put it over your head unless you are very, very, or not high on hygiene. But you don't use it after more days. I mean, it's gone. But the one who lives his life for the Lord, always, will receive from the Lord a crown that will never be corruptible. Always stay like that. Always fresh. So how can I summarize it? Paul is teaching us that a believer in Christ who continually live a Christian life, who is looking for the benefit of the those around him in order to bring the gospel to them on expense of on his own freedom, without to compromise on his spiritual issues, without to compromise on truth. And that's according and along all his life, not only 5 years, for all his life. This is the person who received the incorruptible crown. So, don't be 25 years old, did something great for the Lord, and I'm not saying not, and they say, where is my crown? Wait another year. Now, why do we call it, why does it call the incorruptible one a crown? It's very simple. You know, sometimes God is very logical. It's because it's incorruptible. And the other one does. And that's it. Sometimes the answer is so simple. So people think, it cannot be. Now let me tell you something. When I was in school, the first sentence I learned is as follows. If it makes sense, don't look for another sense. If you keep this, 99% of the issues are solved. That's it. Now the third one. Wow, the crown of righteousness. I'm going to go through them kind of quick. It's 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8. 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8. We see and we know that Paul is writing 2 Timothy to Timothy. I know what it means to be a Timothy. Anyone knows here Jimmy DeYoung? Day of Discovery. You know Jimmy DeYoung? Anyone else know Jimmy DeYoung? Yes. Yes, the one with the hair start here like a wall. Okay, in the end. He was my personal teacher for 9 years. You talk about 3 years, 4 years at school. my schooling is hands-on in the church. Teach. Teach. And Jimmy sit in front of me. Has his red pen, a ruler, notepad, and a Bible. And when he looks, I mean, a gun is nothing compared to that look. I said in a good sense. I'm speaking, and he looks at this, and right in the Bible. I say, oh, God, thank you. And then I say another sentence. He takes his notepad and writes something in his notepad. Tuesday morning, we have elders meeting, and then I know what's going to happen. In a good sense. When I got spanks from him, I said, God, thank you. You love me. That's a different. So I know what it means to be a Timothy, where you basically listen. And you know that God gave you the best teachers that exist. No one is perfect, but God, I couldn't pay for a teacher like that. And here, Paul is writing to Timothy. And basically tell him, in another, I just paraphrase it. Well, the time of my death is coming. I've fight the good war. I finish the race. I kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness is waiting for me, or prepared for me by the Lord, the righteous judge, who will give me in that day. Not only to me, but to all those who love his appearance. Paul may thought that those are the last words he's writing. After this letter, you know that he finished his job. So when you know that's the last thing you say, you try to put the best of it. In other words, father is gone. You want to give your kids the best, that when you are not there, that they cannot call you, hey, dad, can you tell me what to do in here and that? There is no more, dad, tell me from your experience. That's it. Dad is gone. Now you're on your own. So you write the best material, the best advice. And here he summarizes the major issues of his life, the most important one, and tell him, do that and don't do that, just to make sure that my beloved son will not do mistakes I have done or mistakes I know people can do. In chapter 4, Paul is making very clear that all of us are going to stand to be judged before the Lord. None of us is immune. And in light of the fact that we are all going to stand before the Lord to give an account for everything we are doing, so he basically tells him, make sure that you are busy in the right thing. Check it now. Get rid of the wrong thing now, rather than later on saying, I'm sorry. If you already know now something is wrong, discard it. Put it aside. It will not help you. You are going to give account before the Lord for everything you are doing. So basically, he warned him. And the way he speaks is, do it now. You know why? Because you may see the face of the Lord in this moment. That's what helps me. Many times in trips, I'm alone with myself. I still have small kids relatively, and my wife is at home. Being alone in the hotel and so on, believe me, there are no cameras there. But God sees. God sees. And that frightens me. He gives me the fear. So I just make myself sure that I don't have garbage with me, and I'm doing what I need to be done. If God will come right now, I will not be shy with what I'm doing. Because it can be any moment. Any moment. So, if a person understands that he can see the face of the Lord now, it will determine what he's doing right now. It will determine what he's thinking right now. It will shape our life to fit the criteria that God wants us to be like. We'll be more like him than like us. So why it is so important to live in a way that we can see the face of the Lord in any moment? First thing is, because that's what is written. I really believe that the rapture can be in any moment. I truly believe so. I know other people may live differently. I don't think that they're going to hell because of that. That's not the case. Not every disalignment of what you think or the Bible says sends you to hell. But I really believe and can defend this view easily in the middle of the night with a joy. While I cannot do the other way. The other options. I simply don't find them in the Bible. Second, as I said before, if you know that the Lord can come any moment, you will not hide a sin in your, how you call this part? Sleeve, yes, sleeve, that's right. We will shake you and sins will not fall down. Because the moment you recognize a sin, you confess it before the Lord. You maintain a pure life. It helps you. And for those that have that kind of mindset, and please start young. Please start young. It's great. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to say something and I'm going to see if anyone will recognize the problem. Remember your creators. What a clue. In the days of when you are young, what does your Bible say? Creator. The Hebrew Bible says creators. Like the word God in Hebrew in Genesis is Elohim. If you just want to translate the Bible as it is, in the beginning, God has created. A good clue in the plurality and the Godhead. And there are many verses like that in the Old Testament which are translated into English in singular. Kind of trying to defend God, that people will not think that we have many gods or something like that. But remember your creators in the day of your youth. Please remember that. That you may have longer life to serve Him, longer life to experience God in your life. From your youth to the day we'll see His face. Another one is the crown of joy. The crown of joy. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. And 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19, he says, who is our hope and our joy and the crown of our glory in light our Lord Jesus Christ when He comes? Who if not you? You know, it's a kind of a words that parents will tell to his children. I look at my kids and I tell them, come on, who is my joy? It's you. Who is my pride? It's you. If you are falling, if you are sinning, what do you think I think as a father? I will be ashamed to come before the church. I resign immediately. How can I be there? So Paul is talking to other believers like every father speaks to his children. You are our joy. If all of you tomorrow will go and live in sin, what do you think Dr. Anderson and all the faculty will feel? There will be mourning. What have we done? The crown of our joy is corrupt. That's how parents think. So that's what he says. So basically, he's telling them, you are the proof of my service to the Lord in that sense. He's talking about people who speak the word of God, people who share the word of God. And there is results for that. Not necessarily in the same second. But they will be waiting in heaven. I will close right now because otherwise, woe to me. But I will continue in light of other issues to finish the crown. We'll finish the crowns, but together with other topics as well. Okay, please. Good. So I'll just wrap up this one and we'll have... Okay, that's right. So basically he's telling us, continue to evangelize. I see it is, he's speaking to people, you are the proof of our service to the Lord. Now, some people believe in churches that evangelism is the job of few professionals. Ah, we have people who evangelize. Me? I'm a Tom. It's not my gift. It's true. Not everyone can speak in the center of town. But woe to the Christian who think that he should not tell the gospel should the door is opened. Woe to someone like this. So basically, one day you're going to come to heaven, okay? Imagine, you enter. I'm just paraphrasing, I'm not saying that's the view. How many people are going to be there as a result of your obedience to the Lord in a matter of sharing the gospel and living a Christian life. I repeat, you are going to enter to heaven. How many will come? How many people there are waiting to come and say, because of this and this, that you have been faithful to the Lord, God, by His grace, allow me to hear the word of God, and by hearing, I receive salvation. How many? Each one of us will do this calculation. Just to let you know that the Bible teaches each one of us to share about the gospel. Each one of us to need to be able to share about his good hope that we just saw before. None is exempt. Not everyone before a microphone to a crowd, but everyone when he's being asked, who are you and why you believe in Jesus? There is no discount to old, to young, or to those who are stuttering or not. Ask Moses about that. We are all ambassadors to the Lord, and whenever opportunity arises, that's what happens. How many of us say, oh, I'm for Christ, but their neighbors don't know that they are believers? How many are among other believers shout Christ, but when they're in the in a restaurant next to their friends and someone said the word Bible, shh, 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 don't everyone supposed to know? Ah, I touched a sensitive nerve, you see? You want to be hero? Be hero at home and outside home. That's what he's talking about. To come to the point where there is results for your faithfulness, there must be sweat of faithfulness. It doesn't come cheap. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He was blamed. He's not in Rome right now. Maybe he's afraid. No, I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed of it. Everything he needs on time. He suffered a lot for the gospel. I wish we will be able to say that. Most of us are going to live and die and never really suffered for the Lord. And most of us need to ask why. Really need to ask why. Are we heroes at home or also heroes outside? So, since if you are faithful to the Lord, there are new believers, and if there are new believers, there is a joy in heaven, therefore it is being called crown of joy. So, if you have been a tool to bring joy in heaven in that sense, here is a crown of joy. Father in heaven, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, that you allow us to know you, that you allow us to know your word. Father, it's not a lack of understanding, it's not a lack of information. I beg for your forgiveness, Father, for myself. It's a lack of obedience. Bless me, Lord, to know you, to trust you more, to see you more realistic than anything here in this world, that fear will not be part of my life, but actually, Father, just to look at you eye to eye and to do your will. Father, I beg you for me, and I beg it for each one. Bless us to be a church that whoever enters and look at us will say, wow, I feel like in heaven with amongst them. Bless us, Lord, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.